Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to The Great Beyond and Is This Good Companion Pod, where I catch up with my friend and yours, Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Hi, JD. Thanks for coming and producing the show. She'll patch your call through when she goddamn feels like it. Rachel Doyle.
Yeah, that's how I roll, people.
That's right. You're the switchboard operator.
That's right.
Hey, is the energy I'm feeling in the room excitement at the big Atlanta news that dropped?
Oh, I don't know. What Atlanta news are you referring to?
I'm referring to the news that Tim Hortons is opening some locations in Atlanta.
Oh, that's old news, old news, folks. Yeah.
No, but it opened. It just opened.
Oh.
Is the one near Georgia Tech? Because that was pretty exciting.
Well, okay. Wait, it was already open?
No, it was, you know, in the works.
So it is news. It is news.
Fine. I knew it was happening. The construction was before my eyes.
Hey, well, I'm on the Atlanta Canadians Facebook group, and they just won't shut up about fucking Tim Hortons. Like,
it's so embarrassing.
It kind of is, but I don't know.
You know what I was just thinking about, like, literally 2 days ago, those delicious breakfast wraps that we had when we were home. Oh my God.
You sounded like one of the Atlanta Canadians.
Yeah, fuck. Go join a Facebook group.
Oh, eggs, hash brown, this delicious sauce, bacon. It was perfection.
It's pretty good. I mean, sure.
And for a reasonable price. That's where you got me.
Well, I was going to say that because in the 11 Alive news story about the first Tim Hortons opening. What a story. Oh, we may be expanding to Atlanta. Oh, we've just broken ground on our new Georgia Tech location. Wow, exciting. No, it's exciting when it's opening. That's why it's called
right. A
grand opening.
Right, yes, yes.
Anyways.
We did not make our way down there or anything.
So I can go get that sandwich right now is what you're saying.
You can go, I don't know. I don't know if it was a specialty item, a seasonal item. But my question was, so in the 11 Alive news article, it said, quote, the popular Canadian breakfast chain is opening at the intersection of Spring and North Avenue across the Varsity, whatever. Popular Canadian breakfast chain? Is that how you would describe Tim Hortons?
Interesting. I mean, I would call it a donut shop. I still think of it as a donut shop, although it's definitely a breakfast
place. It's a coffee
place.
Shop.
It's got, I hesitate to call it a coffee shop, but I guess you're right. Yeah, it is. Its main competitor in Toronto is McDonald's for breakfast.
But they also serve lunch. They serve lots of sandwiches.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not, I mean, it's not a breakfast place. Most I mean, you can get breakfast there, but would you call Starbucks a popular American breakfast chain?
No.
No.
No. I wouldn't. No matter how many paleo egg bites you eat, it's just not. I went a little deep on Tim Hortons. Because once I started thinking about it, I was like, I got some questions. Do you know that he died under less than ideal circumstances? Talking about the original Tim Horton.
A single car accident.
Yeah, but he was drunk.
Yeah,
and
he was
on
drunk.
Pills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pills, yeah. Too.
Yeah. And they sold, so when he died, they sold the Tim Hortons chain, I think it had like 400 stores at the time that he died, to his business partner for $1 million.
That's nothing.
I think they have like $14 billion worth of assets now.
Oh.
No, it's expanded. They have thousands of stores, so obviously right. This guy did the work, but that's still pretty crazy. And I think his Tim Hortons widow, at some point was like, oh, hold on a second. I made a real bad deal here. And then tried to sue them. And then I think she lost the lawsuit as well. So
wow.
If you think Canadians are boring, I'd like to see John Duncan die in a fiery wreck.
Yeah. John Duncan. And still, or whatever. And still have the balls to call them Timbits, knowing how he died? Mm.
Like, what are you saying?
That at I'm the saying after that the it record, sounds like pieces everything of was... Tim.
Oh, God. Oh. You think the cops were called to the scene and were going, they said, is it bad, sir? And the lead detective's like, goddamn, just Timbits all over the highway.
Exactly.
Now, you can buy a, you can, oh no, wait, I always forget which it is. One, it's a Dunkin' Donuts, you can buy a single Timbit, and a Tim Hortons, you can't. No, I think it might be the reverse. Tim Hortons, you can buy a single Timbit.
Yeah, you definitely can.
Dunkin' Donuts will not allow it, which I think is.
Dunkin' Donuts doesn't sell Timbits.
Well, whatever. Dunkin' Holes. Munchkins. Yeah. Munchkins. Oh. Munchkins. That's
you are really up to speed with your coffee shops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was also thinking there's a Toronto chain of coffee called Timothy's.
Yes.
Yeah.
No relation.
I know, but it was always assumed that, I assumed that it was. I was like, okay.
It was like the upscale offshoot of Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
Because you hear people calling Tim Hortons Tim's. Or Timmy's. You never hear anyone call it Timothy Hortons, but I assume his name was Timothy Horton. Yeah.
We knew a guy who owned the Timothy's on the Danforth. Yeah. He bought a franchise.
And did do well?
The guy is fabulously wealthy now.
But not just because of that. He was brilliant. He's a brilliant businessman.
Yeah, it gave him his start, though. And he worked his ass off in that place. And now he owns, like, Milestones, and I think he may still own that Timothy's. But he's a real estate mogul. He's got like he's got several cars, and like he has he took a picture of his Land Rover and posted it the other day, and the license plate was his last name and three. So that's his third Land Rover, maybe.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he's done incredibly well.
We worked with him on East Side Mario's. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, come on, sponsor the show then, Timothy. Love to have some of your fabulous coffee. Before we get into the goods not goods, did you see the eclipse? Mm-hmm. You were in a much better place to see it than I was.
Yeah, yes we were. But it wasn't total, but it was cool.
Pretty close. It was a sliver. I mean, sliver left.
It was pretty close. It was still very bright out, but weirdly tinted.
It
you know,
felt everything... like it was wearing sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was wearing sunglasses.
No, we were. The way the light
changed. You were wearing glasses.
Not, well, when I was staring at the sun, yes, but not when I was just standing outside.
Yeah.
Right. I saw NBC News said Google searches about hurt eyes spiked Monday afternoon just after many U.S. communities experienced the total solar eclipse. Now, do you think this was legitimate, or do you think this was people like me Googling hurt eyes to make fun of the people that didn't listen to us about wearing the glasses?
Right. Great question. I have to say that after looking at the eclipse, probably looked up at it 20 times or so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was psychosomatic, but I felt like my eyes hurt.
Mine did too. And we were wearing the eclipse glasses time we looked up. I was like, oh, my eyes are aching right now.
I thought...
Well, you're still staring into the sun, and I think, what do we say, that they're 100 times darker than sunglasses?
Yeah.
Those $2.99 Amazon specials?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. It's $20 for five over here.
Okay, great.
20 for five?
Mm-hmm.
Bargain. And you're the only four people in your family, so what did you do? Put them on the dock?
She drove them.
You will
to
stare into
house.
The eclipse, Hazel.
Look up!
Look up!
I was worried about Hazel, actually, while we were out there. Like, as if she would look up at the eclipse, you know.
It's because she's your baby.
Well, I mean, she probably... No, she wouldn't care. No. I just decided she wouldn't care.
She would not notice at all.
It does look like a ball, though.
Yep, you're right.
The sun? Yeah, you're right. Also the moon. You might want to check that thing out when the sun goes down. They're a real... Probably one of the best 1-2 combinations.
Yeah, you're right.
They're like the Stockton and Malone of celestial phenomenon.
Someone's going to complain about too much sports talk now.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, when we were talking about Tim Hortons, I was trying to come up with like, because was Tim Horton good at hockey?
Literally no idea, but I think so.
I mean, he played. Maybe it was just rec hockey. Yeah,
he
played for the Maple Leafs. Jesus Christ, Rachel.
I'm sorry, I knew he played. Yeah. Well, of course he was good then if he was in the NHL.
But he played for the Leafs. Just kidding.
Yeah, I think his jersey's retired. But also, Rachel, like, think of, to put it in a context you might understand.
Oh, fuck you. How about that? I can tell this. Are you going to dumb it down for me? All right.
No, I'm just going to bring it to your area of expertise, which is pickleball. Now, who's the best, just name one, who's the best pickleball player in the world?
Annalee Waters.
Okay, Annalee
Waters.
She's
not the best in the world.
Fucking Jesus, I didn't
Ben
want this
Johns,
to
Jesus Christ. Is
okay,
better?
Ben Johns. Ben Johns, perfect. Perfect. So if there was a chain of coffee places named after Ben Johns, you'd be like, oh, that makes sense. He's the best pickleball player. Mm-hmm. But if it's like one of the worst ones, like I don't know who it would be, you'd be surprised that they had like a multinational chain of restaurants named after them.
Wait. Yeah, Jason Doyle's? Wait, he was a pickleball player, right?
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Was
why?
He good? No, not at all. Not at all.
Look, people are asking about you today. They want you back. Okay. You must have been all right.
Yeah.
Like if there was a chain, like an NBA player that opened up a chain of coffee shops that had 4,000 locations across the world and it was called Bismack Biyombo's, you know, you'd be like, that's interesting. Yeah. He's not very good.
Right.
But why do you have to be good to open a business?
Yeah. Because if it was called Michael Jordan's, everyone would want to go.
You don't have to.
It was called Wayne Gretzky's. Actually, Wayne Gretzky did have a restaurant, and no one went. And
your
it
point
to
is
shut
not
down.
Accepted. You can open
a
business
talking about?
And still be in the NHL and still be... If you're in the NHL, you are at least mediocre. You don't have to be the best to open a goddamn
mediocre
business.
Mediocre relative to me, yes. But if you're still the worst of the best, yes, it means you're good. But I'm just saying it's surprising.
I agree. You're going to go to Gretzky's, but even if you're great, you're going to Gretzky's before you're going to Lemieux's, right?
Yeah, and that's, I don't know, maybe, you know, he's top five.
Yeah.
Why does that make you good at coffee?
It doesn't, but
okay,
it's
name
recognition.
It's just, I love it.
If you were going to start a coffee shop and you were going to put serious money into it, would you want it to be named after the best person in a certain field or a mediocre person?
Okay, am
just
I
if
confused?
Just if it was up to you.
Am I confused? Isn't it
yes,
his?
Before
it's
you even say
business.
Anything, yes.
Then he doesn't need. He's an egomaniac and he called it himself. Nobody's like, I'm going to name this what? After this. It's his business.
Well, okay, fair enough. It is his business. But at the same time, it shows that he wasn't very good at hockey because most people don't even know he was a hockey player. If it was called Michael Jordan's, you would never be able to divorce the coffee shop Michael Jordan's from the player Michael Jordan's.
Yeah, but how many basketball players do you know from the same era that Tim Horton was in the NHL?
George Mikan.
That was, I saw those wheels turning. That was a deep dig you just did there. Come on.
I was trying to remember those people that are on the NBA's like 100 top 100 players of all time list that are from the early days, and there's just, you know, like
right.
Bob. Yeah. Like Bob Balaban. I mean, that's an actor, but you know, it could be Bob Balaban.
Well, what about
it's
like
that kind of a name?
Jerry West.
But Jerry West is really good.
Right. Well, so is Tim Horton, I guess.
By the way, Pistol Pete's a great name for a restaurant chain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, rootin' tootin' good time at Pistol Pete's.
Right? I could see that.
All right,
where
Tim
did
Horton,
Pistol Pete play?
We salute you. Where did he what?
Where did he play?
I don't know.
He played with guns.
The Lakers? I don't know. Yeah. He was big in college. I know that, but okay. I don't know where he played in the NBA. A short-lived career. Did anything good or not good happen to you?
Well, Rachel went to the She Believes Cup. Over the weekend.
It was fun.
Was pickleball?
No, it's the women's soccer. The U.S. women's team versus Japan's women's team. And then it was a doubleheader.
Doubleheader.
Canada's national team, the world champion, Canada, versus Brazil.
We were outnumbered, the Canadians in the audience.
Men to women or?
Brazilians to Canadians, we were.
Brazilian. Really? Brazilians?
The boos were phenomenal for Canada. And us polite Canadians were like, well, I can't boo. That's not right.
Why are there so many? There's more Canadians in Atlanta than Brazilians. I'm almost willing to guarantee it.
Maybe
so why
aren't
they opening
polite.
Up?
maybe they just hate Canadians, the Americans.
Now,
they've had it with us.
It cleared out after the U.S. versus Japan game. Like, half of the Mercedes-Benz stadium left.
Oh, so it didn't refill after.
Well, it was still a reasonable amount that it was, like, half. It was half. But, like, it was packed. Like, again, the wave was going around that stadium. And around.
Were you participating in it?
Like, oh, okay.
They had to.
At the end, it was just lethargic. I'm like, okay, people, are we done yet?
She comes home and she's like, when does this thing end? I'm like, when you decide. You're doing it. What are you talking about?
She's still doing it now.
Okay.
Well, I guess we
don't have to do
this.
It, Rachel. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. This was a good thing?
Oh, so it was a lot of fun. But the Canada game, it was 1-1. And, the goal from the Canadian was a header in. It was a fabulous goal. And then at the very end, they had to take it to a shootout, which was exciting. Canada won 4-2 in the shootout, and the goalie was incredible.
Incredible. Good for us.
Good
they
for us.
They celebrated by going to the Tim Hortons across from the varsity.
You
should have. God damn it.
Those boos didn't get them. Didn't get them. Didn't shake them.
Nice.
Like water off a duck's
back. So they're ready for Paris, is what you're saying.
They were fabulous. I mean, the goalie's fucking ready. She was MVP.
Great.
Are you... what? I was going to ask if you're a big Olympics head, Rachel.
No.
Okay.
But I should be. I think I could really get into it. Every time I see Jackson's soccer game or we're watching Premier League with him, I'm like... I need to go hit something hard. I need to go hit the ball hard with my pickleball paddle. Yeah, I get very competitive.
She just
and
wants
I
to
play.
Do
I want to participate.
Filter the entire world through pickleball. It's disturbing.
No,
you see someone playing soccer, and that to you means
well,
you must.
No, it's
hit
the
a
competitiveness
pickleball?
That is coming yeah. through, and I'm getting. And I want to be.
Are
a
you,
part
are you
of it.
Happy with your competition level? Do you think the people that play with you think, like, you're too competitive or not competitive?
Oh, no, I don't act like an asshole competitively on the... They mostly are like, bitch, why you gotta hit so hard? Yeah. Why you gotta hit so hard? It's not necessary.
They're scared of you. God,
so I'm trying
like, you hit so hard, there should be a chain of coffee shops called Rachel Doyle's.
Mm.
But who told me last time they were like, I haven't played against a guy in a while that hits as hard as you. Settle down. But, okay. And it's all relative. It's all relative, obviously. But my arm hurts. I need to take a chill pill.
Okay. Good. You calm right down. Sorry, JD, I interrupted you.
Sorry.
Oh, no, nothing. I had a dumb joke that I was going to say.
Okay. Well, you don't have to say it now. And so what about you? The thing that happened to you was that Rachel went to a soccer game?
I mean, that's it. I mean, we just came off the tail end of, spring break just happened. So
yeah,
kids went back to school today. I mean, yeah, 2 days ago on Tuesday. And Lincoln went to New York. So I wanted to share some of travel stuff. You know, since he went on a flight, we should probably talk about
okay.
it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a new thing. For us, really, because we've never dealt with it at this scale, but there were 40, was it 40, Rachel?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
40 high school kids taking a flight together with, I think, 5 chaperones.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to New York for 4 days, and the instructions, and some of them have never been on a plane before.
Right.
So, you know, imagine the... the daunting task. Anyway, the instructions were no checked bags, period.
Oh, okay. I guess you wrote the instructions. Oh, no, no.
Everybody check a bag.
You're the opposite.
But out of 40 kids.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, okay, well, we don't want to deal with, like, the baggage carousel or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. They're in main 3, so like the bottom of the bottom when it comes to boarding on a Delta flight to New York. Some of those kids are going to have to check their bags, period.
Of course. Of course.
Also, some of them have never been on a plane before. So he sent the dimensions of what a carry-on should be,
mm-hmm.
but you know that somebody, anyway, somebody, one person had to check their bag. So that's mm-hmm. it for everybody. Everybody right. now has to go to the baggage carousel.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask, to be honest. But how many days are they going to be there?
4 days. But listen, okay. here's the packing list that they were told. So this is for a carry-on. 4 pairs of pants.
Why are they dictating how many pants to bring?
Because I'm telling you.
First of all, you save on the pants. You need one pair of jeans.
I know, but this was the official, like, this is what you should pack for this trip. 4 pairs of pants, 4 pairs of shirts, sweater, etc. They were performing, so they had this black suit that they have to wear. So we're talking about a blazer, a pair of pants, and for the girls, like Ooh. A gown, like a big
Jesus.
Gown, right? A pair of comfortable walking shoes, a rain jacket, or a winter coat, or both. Or both. Okay. Two to three sets of pajamas. I mean, come on.
What?
4 to 5 pairs.
Jesus.
4 to 5 pairs of undergarments. Now, that one I can get behind. 5 pairs yeah. of socks. Sure.
Yeah.
Toiletries. Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, that's a lot. It's a lot to ask to fit all of that shit into a bag. Now, of course, we know we've been on a 4-day trip. We understand. Like, you only need one pair of pants, really. Blah, blah, blah. But I just found it so inane that they would be expected to fit all this into a bag and then be expected to not check a bag at all. Especially knowing that on the way back, they definitely had to check bags. And I think a couple of them had to check bags anyways, because they're like, the flight's full. Sorry, you got to check your bag. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's very clown car. Like,
total.
A bag is a bag. You can't fit that many things in it.
Right.
And by the way, what are they performing? Is it music?
Yeah, they're a choir.
So, oh, choir. I was going to say, where do they put their trumpets and shit?
Right.
But, yeah, like, you can't, you want them to pack, like, a blazer and nice pants and maybe nice shoes for this performance, but they're going to, like, shove them into this tiny carry-on. They're going to look like shit anyway.
Totally. Exactly. Exactly.
I hope the chaperones each brought a steamer.
Right? And they're, you know, they're 4 to a room and whatever. I mean, it's a school trip. And so they had a blast and stuff, and it was fine. But I was just like, God damn, they're just flirting with disaster. And it doesn't matter anyway, because one kid showed up, big suitcase. Sorry, got to check it.
Didn't Lincoln have a picture of that?
He should have. We're not putting up pictures of kids.
No. I mean, the size of the bag.
Yeah.
The bag was massive.
Yeah. It's like... And, you know, it's like, they're like, well, it's not a carry-on. It's like, oh, well, what am I going to do?
He was the one responsible for bringing all the booze.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, gigantic fucking
hopefully.
Bag.
Hopefully it was filled with Natty Lights or whatever the kids are drinking these days.
But also, if you're a chaperone, the last thing you want is, let's say, everyone checks or most people check.
Mm-hmm.
And then one person, two people lose their bags. And now you're on the phone the entire trip trying to find them.
Sure.
You got to take the kid to CVS. You got to take the kid shopping for at least a pair of pants and a t-shirt, something like that.
Right.
So I do understand why they don't want that, but
I get it too. And they just want to, also you have to pay extra for the bag at that level.
Oh, right,
at
right,
the bulk buying of plane tickets. So whatever. But I think if somebody wanted to pay the $35, just pay it and whatever. Anyways.
But more importantly, how much would you have to be paid to be a chaperone on one of these trips?
Oh, God. $10,000. $10,000, a first-class ticket, and a suite, like, when I got there.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to disparage the the chaperones, but from what I hear, they were basically useless. And they were parents of kids who were on the trip, which I think kind of ruins it for the kid, They're like, I would never go be a chaperone on a trip that my kid
right.
was on, just because it's just like, Dad, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like the old Corolla bit where it's just like, whoever volunteers to be a chaperone, you are automatically disqualified. And then you get the person who least wants to do it. Because they'd be actually good at it. I mean, one thing. Well, okay, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
This made me very annoyed. So they got a little per diem in Times Square.
Oh, God.
Ugh. The kids?
Yeah. It was like, this is the time to hang out and shop or whatever. You know, just do Times Square and you're on your own for dinner, right? But you had to stay with your chaperone group. Mm-hmm. So they were all given envelopes with $25 cash in it as a per diem. Like, not bad, right? Not bad at all.
So you take that to stand in line at the TKTS, in a few hours, you could be seeing a musical.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So they went to a poke place, a sushi place, mm-hmm. They were sitting there, and it was one of those places that has a counter. So you go up, you order, and then they deliver the food. Anyway, homeless dude walks in. It's New York, no big whip. Comes to the table. There's the chaperone is at the table, and there's five kids sitting at the table.
Yeah.
All of them but one gave this homeless guy the envelope with $25 in it.
And the chaperone did nothing.
And the chaperone said nothing and didn't, like, if it was me, I would be like, okay, here's $5. Get the fuck out of here. These are kids, whatever.
Yeah.
And the kids just literally took
that
out.
That is insane.
So he made like 100.
Then the bill comes for the poke and they're like, sorry, we gave it to that guy.
Well, they had already paid for the poke. Like, they all still had their cash, but they paid with a card, right? Because nobody takes cash anymore.
So. Which child did not give the $25?
Yeah, exactly.
it's so funny that, like, we're proud of our son for not helping out. But I know what you mean. Like, it is a little absurd.
It's called street smarts. That's all.
Give someone $100.
Yeah, yeah. But they were just like, here you go. They felt really bad. And, you know, shout out to the kids. You know, but I don't know. The chaperone's got to do something to kids. You know what I mean? Like, why are you there if not for those situations? You know what I mean?
Kitty
yeah,
cat.
Well, exactly. Sorry, that's not a baby. That is a cat.
It's your
cat
baby.
Is deaf. Can you hear that meowing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so because it's not a meow. It's a... That's how she does. She doesn't know. But yeah, that is, God.
And then the one other thing, Lincoln's the chaperone group that he was in, the daughter of the chaperone was in the group, and so they get to New York. They go all the way to the dock for Ellis Island, like immediately, right from the airport. They're going to Statue of Liberty, right? So they get all the way there. And if you know New York, it's at Battery Park, which is at the very bottom of Manhattan. Like, you can't go any more south.
We had to stay there once. We did. It's very inconvenient.
It was quite inconvenient. So they took this bus all the way down. They got there. When they got there, for some reason, there was like a four-hour wait to get on the ferry. Like, there were so many people for some reason. So they said, all right, screw it, we're going to Times Square, which pissed me off because they were going to Times Square the next day and the day
after
that.
Instead of seeing a part of our history where immigrants came this land and we welcomed them with open arms, let's just go to the place that used to be filled with sex.
That's right.
sex stores and strip clubs and is now a pay into capitalism in an M&M store.
That's exactly right. Anyway, so they were supposed to have lunch on somewhere on Ellis Island. Anyways, by the way,
I don't think the Statue of Liberty is on Ellis
Island. No, I know. They were going to Ellis and Liberty, but anyway.
A twofer,
yeah. Which they ended up doing later on in the weekend. So that's all fine. But so they go to Times Square, and then Lincoln is like, everybody's starving. It's lunchtime. He's like, guys, we're in New York. Let's get a slice of pizza, right? Because it's fucking New York City, right?
Yeah, Domino's, baby!
Oh, come on. There's decent pizza around Times Square. Anyways.
There's Ray's. There's Original Ray's. There's Famous Original Ray's.
You can get a little bit of a New York experience,
sure.
You know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
but they all outvoted him. They went to Raising Cane's, which is here in Atlanta. Like,
is
they
it?
Could, yes.
I don't know.
I think it is.
It is. Oh, okay. I think it is. But wait, so they went to both a poke place and
this was a different day.
They went to Times Square twice?
Three times, because the day they got there and then the next 2 days they were in Times Square because they were seeing two Broadway shows consecutive
Fine.
Nights. So, of course, you're going to be in Times Square.
That's the most frustrating part to me.
Yeah.
You go down to the Battery to go to, you know, Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty, And then you jump up to Times Square and you're like, nothing in between? I mean, even the 9/11 memorial is right there in Battery Park.
Yeah, they ended up going there as well later on, which was a highlight for sure. But anyways. Okay.
And he was in the elevator when the earthquake happened. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's a little scary.
Yeah. Well, they didn't realize there because it was just like, I guess the elevator's shaking.
Anyway. Right.
So.
Okay.
If you're going to be a chaperone, you should... Number one qualification is not wanting to do it. And then if you're there doing it, actually do something to guide the kids through the experience.
Well, he also said the chaperone put their daughter in charge. So that...
Well, yeah, they decided where they went. So he was like, you know, he was sitting in the Disney store for 45 minutes while his group was looking for little trinkets and stuff. And he was texting with me and I was like, leave, go. I got your back. Go down. You're close to Rockefeller Center. Why don't you just go and look at the building where, you know, SNL is taped or whatever.
You're a shit
disturber.
Just
go look at it.
Well, I mean, it's better than sitting in a Disney store. Jesus.
Yeah, and then they're like, missing child, red alert. My daddy told me to.
Yeah, well, the other chick's like, my mommy said I'm in charge.
Exactly.
Ralph Wiggum over there.
Anyway.
Get to be princess for the day, honey.
They did go to the American Girl store.
Yeah, did they?
Oh,
really?
My God. What a fucking nightmare.
And
it is so funny,
store.
Though, but when they're that age, like, you do get taken to stores. I do find it really weird.
Fine.
You know what would be a better use of time? Unless, I mean, you know, whatever. It's April in New York. It's probably not hot, but I'm sure it's warm enough. Walk around.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're kids. They have so much goddamn energy. Get it out of them.
100%.
Pick a street and walk down. It's New York. Go walk around Central Park. Yeah. Ever heard of it? You know how big that thing is?
I know.
I don't know either, but it's big.
It's huge.
Many different parts of it. The Ramble, Sheep's Meadow, Strawberry Fields.
I mean,
East Side, West Side. Uptown, downtown,
right.
Across 110th Street. Now we're in the Bronx.
Yeah. Anyway, he was, you know, Lincoln had a decent time, but he was like, I can't wait to go actually back to New York.
Yeah, and, okay. Well, you got to take him. You got to chaperone him.
I know. And I want to, like, I felt so bad. Like, I was like, this is so stupid.
You would have taken him to the Rippers if you were the chaperone. He shouldn't have refused us.
How dare you?
No.
Sorry.
Never been to a strip club.
I'm half kidding.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, also let me just put this little, like, it was the first time that they had taken kids on a plane somewhere, like the school. It was a sort of a dip your toe into the water. So they were, I think they were all nervous about it.
But did everyone survive? No one got injured.
No, it was
no
fair.
One got lost.
Fine. Yep.
So it was fine.
It's fine.
Crippling cocaine addictions, but that's fine.
You know, I'll say this as well. There were more drugs taken when the last year of the school trip was to Disney World.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say this.
Okay.
Well, I'm just telling you that there were more, as far as from what I heard, there's more drugs taken in Disney World than there was in New York City.
Nobody was checking their bags. Or, like, nobody was, you know.
Well, that's safe. Honestly, you would rather your kids be high in Disney World.
Yes, I suppose. You're right.
It's a
hermetically
sealed fake city.
Yep. That's a very good point, Matt.
Yeah, okay.
That's a very good point.
Good for the kids still doing drugs. I
like
to.
I like that.
Speaking of drugs, my one of my good things is I drank non-alcoholic beer this week.
Okay.
On purpose.
Wow. It wasn't served by accident.
It was not served by accident. And I realize how dumb we are, like our brains are. Yeah. I was drinking it. It tasted like exactly like beer.
Okay.
Smelt, looked like beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying like, oh, I was so drunk. But it scratched the itch all the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Like, fine if you're going to have, if you like want to get drunk or tipsy and you need to have like, five beers.
Sure.
The non-alcoholic's not going to work for you.
Right.
But if you just want that feeling of coming home and just a can of suds like the people on the roof in Shawshank Redemption.
You feel like a man.
It works.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if like we've come farther in non-alcoholic beer science,
mm-hmm.
but it's also, it's like less than half the calories.
Yeah.
Can we do this with sugar? Like with chocolate?
What's spearheading this? Just you're trying to cut down on your drinking?
Well, or? I told you, yeah, not cut down, but no, I'm trying to ramp it up. not necessarily cut down, but it's like if I can come home and have an alternative in the fridge,
yeah,
you know, during the week, why wouldn't I just do that?
Yeah.
I guess that is trying to cut down.
Sure.
But I tried the ghee. I told you about that. It's too delicious.
Right.
It just goes down too easy, and it's too expensive. Yeah. It's too expensive. But non-alcoholic beer, it is more expensive than beer, which is also kind of funny.
It's vexing.
But I don't know. It's not as expensive as ghee, and it tastes good. So I think I'm going to go with it for a while.
So what kind of beer was it? Well, just the brand, so I can get
no free
try.
Ads. No free ads. I'll tell you. It's called... I think it's called Athletic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You should be getting that for free.
Right?
I used to drink that. It's good.
It's not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. You trying to cut down?
I told you, I stopped drinking for like 3 years, and then I went to Europe and...
fell off the wagon.
Yeah.
This also reminded me, a long time ago, like, this could be like close to 2 years ago at this point, I got an email to Is This Good account. We never did it on the show, but it kind of reminded me of this. So I'm going to read it to you now. Hey, Matteo, I was working in renovations for a short time, and my boss and I were heading to the last job of the day. The customer was building a batting cage in his backyard. He asked me if we wanted a beer while we chatted about the blueprints. He asked if we wanted Heineken or a Bud, and we both asked for a Heineken. He brings himself up 3 White Claws, says he's not into beer, but for us he brought 2 Heinekens each. The strange thing is the beers were non-alcoholic, as very clearly stated on the can. He sent a picture of the can, and it's not like one of those ones where it just says like 0.0%. It says non-alcoholic in big letters on it.
Yeah.
Is this good, to bring yourself an alcoholic beverage but not your guest? Thanks for the hard work, Maddie. That's from Cole. And let me just say, Cole, it feels great when someone who's doing manual labor thanks me, a podcaster, for doing hard work. I do.
Right?
I appreciate that.
But you think that
it was an accident, right? It had to be an accident.
How do you accidentally do that?
Just talking, please.
There's no accident there, especially if you've got yourself 3 White Claws. You know what has alcohol and what doesn't.
So
that's the funniest part to me.
Oh my God.
How many blueprints do you need to look at for a fucking batting cage that you're going to be there long enough to chug 3 White Claws?
Well, also, this is their client, right? Like, so
right.
They work for the guy. So maybe he was just like, well, these guys are working, so I better give them non-alcoholic beer, right? Like.
Oh, you think that's what?
Well,
so
I don't know.
Just like rubbing it in their faces.
It's like, you want a beer? You just failed the test. Here's a non-alcoholic beer. Now get to work on my batting cage.
Well, you know, speaking of needing a chaperone, this happened to me when I was a kid. I was home alone, and my parents had hired someone to like fix the steps. Like they were, I don't know, some kind of stone or something. So they needed someone to. They were falling apart, and they needed someone to fix it.
A mason?
My grand. Well. Sure. the same people that make the jars fix the steps? I don't think so. My grandfather, rest in peace, he had, you know, he was very much in a sort of old country. And he had like a handwritten little phone book. And in it was all the kind of like repair people he knew, but it was just their first name and then the thing that they would fix.
Okay.
So it was like Yurik the cement, Stefan the roof. You know, we would always loved going through. It was very funny. Anyway, so Yurik the cement was over.
Okay.
A Polish guy, didn't really speak much English. And so he rings the doorbell. He's working outside. He rings the doorbell. I open the door and, you know, my parents were like, oh, if he needs anything, you know, you'll help him out. And he's like, do you have anything to drink? And I was like, oh, yeah, I can get you some water. And he's like, you know, do you have anything else to drink? And I was like, orange juice? And he's like, what about something strong? I mean, you know, I'm like way too young to know what he's driving at here. And he's like, what about vodka? Again.
Vodka?
You know, Polish guy. Yeah. And I go, oh, yeah. Yeah, my dad has a cabinet with vodka in it. So I open the cabinet and I'm like, oh, I don't really know how to serve this or how much to give. And then I saw that my dad, I don't know why, he had some of those like airplane sized bottles of vodka.
No, that's helpful.
Yeah, and he had 3 of them.
Wow.
So I just scooped those up and I just said, here.
Oh my God.
And he was like, thank you. So happy. My parents come home. They were so angry at me. They're like, you gave him 3 like ounces of vodka? And I was like, they were tiny bottles. What are you getting on my ass, Dad? Like, what?
He asked for them.
He asked for them. And they're like, that's not calm. He said, you told me to help him.
He's sleeping on the couch now, son.
No, I think he worked better. I don't know. He got the job done. So I don't really know what the big fucking deal is, Dad. But it is very funny to me now. Like, if my kid, it's like we had a worker coming over, my kid gave him 3 shots of vodka.
Well, he asked for it. I mean, you're just being still, helpful.
It is weird to ask a child.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Vodka.
Yeah. He saw his opportunity. He took it.
He took it.
Yeah, he wasn't asking your dad for that.
But would he is the question.
I don't think he would.
You know what I mean? Like, was he taking advantage of me?
Yes.
A child without a chaperone.
Yes. Most definitely. Yeah.
And it worked.
It did.
Well, what are we talking about? How we're talking 89-ish? The year this happened?
No, I honestly, I was probably older than that. I would say like 90, okay. 91, yeah. You know, some 10, 11. Fuck, even 12, I probably would have been like,
yeah.
Okay, sure. All right, let's do some quick housekeeping here, because Rachel, I got a question for you in housekeeping. So first of all, go back and listen to the David Roth episode from Monday, a banger. It was a really fun episode. My question for you, Rachel, is did you know that your husband is the fanciest man I've ever met?
I was kind of surprised that you didn't know that. Because
did you listen to the episode?
Yes, I did. I edited it.
Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So thank you for editing it, first of all. No. Though there were no edits in this one.
Well, putting it together.
She put it
and
together.
I know. Assembly. Yes, I understand that. I just didn't want people to think. Oh, it sounded so good because they.
Oh yes, I didn't fix
anything. There were no bad parts.
Yeah, we didn't.
So we did this thing where it was like, "Is this a good rule?" A segment that we do on the show sometimes, and there was an etiquette article I found by some highfalutin person who trained under the Queen's staff, and she consulted for Downton Abbey, which I should not have told JD because he immediately decided that he was going to side with her on everything. But like, so some of the article was like 11 fine dining rules that you've broken your whole life. And so like, what, the first was like, never lift your menu off the table. And your husband was like, oh, brilliant. Another one, once you sip from a glass, you must sip from the exact same place in that glass for the rest of the evening. Anyway, he was agreeing with them all. It was driving me nuts. One we didn't get to though. So Rachel, I wanted to see if you're as fancy as your husband. Here's one rule we didn't do. Keep your bread on the plate at all times, unless you are delivering it to your mouth. In the explanation, she says, that means you should butter the bread while it is still on the plate, but do not butter the whole slice at once. Break off the piece you plan to eat, butter that piece, and then lift that piece into your mouth. This applies to bagels, muffins, biscuits, and other bread-like products.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean— Does that seem ruder? Instead of just slathering on the butter once.
Right. It seems unnecessary.
You're breaking it up?
Well, yeah, I would argue that it's uncouth to slather butter over your entire bread. Like,
disgusting, really, when you think about it.
It's just uncouth.
Was
this caveman here buttering the entire piece of bread? Putting cream. So this applies to bagels. She's saying you cannot put cream cheese on the whole bagel. Okay. You have to break off a piece of the bagel. First of all, the queen's not eating a bagel. Is she? Is the queen eating a bagel?
Why not?
I mean, not in a fine dining.
But it's breakfast.
But it is if it's a formal breakfast. It's all fine dining,
I suppose.
Are bagels even popular in the UK?
Great question. I don't know. I don't think we saw any bagels.
Scones,
over there.
Really? Scones are their bagels.
Yeah. You're right.
Okay. So the queen's not eating a bagel. But I think this is a little crazy. And then if the butter is like in a communal dish, which it might be, in some fancy pewter boat.
Sure.
That means you keep reaching over to the butter.
No, you take off a portion and you put it on your plate and you use from that.
It's probably not allowed.
No, that's
but if it is, you got to keep it on the top right, bottom right hand corner. We know that.
That's right.
Bottom right hand corner is for sauces and butters.
Yeah.
No, Jason is like, his parents are both very hoity-toity.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but sure.
His dad, the homicide cop?
I know. They're very sophisticated and intimidating. Like, your mother was groomed by her her aunt, who was very well off and very, I thought, sounded like high society.
Yeah.
Okay, groomer.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, yeah. Riding horses and such and spending a lot of time
like
with her.
That was like one summer, and then they were shipped back to Belfast. But sure, yeah.
I mean, she definitely left
an indelible mark on my mother, for sure.
Most definitely.
For sure.
All right. Well, if you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/isthisgood. That's where you can give us money so that JD can buy the fine china that he really needs to complete his life. Mm-hmm. You'll get ad-free episodes, access to our thriving community on Discord, and an exclusive episode every month. And, of course, the Hangouts as well, which was last week. It was a very fun time. And, of course, send topics for future shows to isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. I like to get some more emails and topics for the show. Subscribe on YouTube, leave a review on Apple Podcasts. A bit of follow-up, JD. Mm-hmm. Remember not last week's or this week's episode, but the one before where we did all the April Fool's stuff?
Yeah.
And I called out the whoopee cushion makers of America. And, well, let's be honest, probably China. And I said, how have we not gotten any better at these? Like, these work 5% of the time. We're not innovating. Mm-hmm. We're not iterating. And someone wrote to me and said, you're 100% wrong. There are now self-inflating whoopee cushions.
Yeah, I saw that
too. I looked
it
up on Amazon. Cheap. They're cheap too. It's not like...
Did you buy one?
These are expensive whoopee cushions.
Yeah, you could get two for $6, I think.
Yeah, this was a packet of three. So you know on Amazon when they write like the bullet point features of the product that you're going to buy?
Sure.
Okay, so I want to read you what these are. self-inflated. No flour or powder. These whoopee cushions are self-inflating, will not make you wait long time between those funny poot sounds.
There's nothing worse than the wait time.
It's like nothing worse.
The whoopee cushion refractory period.
I toss it under you, makes a big poot sound. I pick it up. Rachel walks in the room like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She can't catch you blowing it, otherwise she's going to know.
That's exactly right.
Next big bullet point, loud poot sound.
Okay, that's good.
Got a brother or sister you want to prank? An annoying neighbor? Upcoming party? This funny prank product will do the job for you and will make everyone laugh from these extremely loud poot sounds.
Annoying neighbor.
great gift idea. Our unique decorated fun box will make this gift perfect for any birthday, Christmas, Halloween, bar mitzvah, April Fool's, or any other holiday. So we do thank you, the whoopee cushion makers. You are getting after it, which is really nice to see. I want to ask you, so I had a problem with my air fryer.
Okay.
This week?
Yeah.
Do you have an air fryer?
Do we?
It's not like the, you know how there's like some that have the pot.
If you had one, you'd know.
It's called an air fryer, but it's not like the, you put the pot in and it really fries it well.
It's not an air fryer.
It's like
it's like an oven?
Toaster. Yeah.
Like a tiny toaster oven?
It has an air fry setting, but it's not an air fryer.
All right.
So you've got legit
air
fryer.
Honestly, not a huge, all the air fryer is a tiny oven anyway.
Right.
But there's like a plate that you put the stuff on, and that plate is like Teflon coated, so it's nonstick, and the Teflon coating is like really coming off, like in a big way, which is toxic, right? Mm-hmm. So I reach out to the good people at Dash Air Fryers, and I say, "Hey, this is wiping off. Can you send us a new plate?" And so it's like a lot of back and forth, and finally I get from the phone. They say, "Give us your email address. Someone from the department will be reaching out to you." So they send me an email. They said, what's the general problem? I explained it to them. They send me back an email. It says, hello, Matthew. Thanks for submitting your information for a review. We have a few additional questions regarding your unit. So they send me 1, 2, 3, 4 questions. And I want to ask you them because you're saying, well, this is not our air fryer. How would we know? But I was answering them in a way where I was like, what is the right answer here? Because if I give them the wrong answer, they're going to say, well, you weren't using it properly.
Right, right.
So I want to give the answers that would lead them to say, shit, this guy did everything right.
Okay.
And they indicted me. All right, so what kind of nonstick cooking spray are you using in your unit? What do you think they'd want me to say?
Wow. I would say something high burning, so like a canola, something like that.
I said avocado.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Yep. Are you hand washing your unit or washing it in the dishwasher?
Hand washing.
Oh, hand wash.
Hand washing.
Sure.
And we are hand washing it. Okay, so we got... Now, I'm surprised they didn't ask with what kind of a sponge. Because if it's abrasive, that could be scraping the thing.
Right.
Mm.
You're right.
What kind of cooking utensils are you using with your unit?
Wooden.
Great answer. Yeah. I said rubber tongs.
Oh.
Not true, but I said it.
Okay, rubber tongs. That's a good answer.
And then, are you drying your crisper basket after use or allowing it to air dry? So this one I was really stumped with. I felt like they wanted me to say I hand dried it.
Really?
But then I thought if I'm, you know, wiping it with a cloth, that might be wiping off the thing. So I was really stumped on this one.
That's weird. You should be able to wipe it dry without it coming off. What is it made of?
I know, but so then I was like, maybe they want me to say air dry. But then I thought maybe air dry is bad because the moisture stays on it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so after much hemming and hawing and trying to find an answer online, I said hand dry. And then said, once we receive your response, we can continue your warranty review. So I send in all these answers. A few hours later, I get an email response. Thank you for your responses. Your warranty is expired.
What?
God. They were just stalling. 4 days away, guys.
It didn't matter what I said.
What the?
I could have said I invented air dryer, air fryers.
That is insane.
So then I said,
What?
And they said, as a one-time offer, we will allow, if you click on this link, you can register your product and we will expand your warranty to 2 years.
Wow. But it's already ruined. So
I did. No, I did. And they said, I did. And I said, okay, I did it. And they said, all right, we're sending you a new one.
What? That is so convoluted.
They just wanted your info.
It's literally like meeting a troll at a bridge.
Right.
That doesn't want you to pass. And they're just stalling for time. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, my God.
This is just a long air frying riddle.
So you haven't gotten it yet, though.
No, I have not gotten it yet. And by the way, I also have not received my JetBlue points. So I'm really 0-for on a lot of customer service here. And then, okay, one more piece of follow-up here. This is from Variety. Remember we were talking a while ago about how whenever you go see movies, you tend to go to those places where you can order food and stuff?
Yes.
What, you didn't...
You made it the way you worded it.
JD didn't like that characterization.
I don't like that characterization because I don't love those places. Rachel likes them.
We went once in, 5 years?
So it's not exactly a fair characterization to be like, oh, you love the movie tavern, don't you, JD?
All right, JD loves movie taverns. Here's a headline from Variety. Danny McBride. We know Dan. We love Danny McBride.
Danny McBride.
Eastbound and Down, Vice Principals, mm-hmm. Foot Fist Way, Pineapple Express. All right. Danny McBride can't stand movie theaters serving dinner and drinks. I hate it. And you're going to have to piss in the middle of the film. That's a headline. What a headline. So he quoted as saying, I hate it. I can't stand it. I also don't think it makes sense to combine booze with movies. You're going to have to piss. Doesn't alcohol make you want to get up and get loose? You don't want to sit there, drink beer, and just be quiet. I have no interest in going to see a movie and just pounding IPAs, just fucking falling asleep. Mm-hmm. That's what I've been saying.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And you're a peer, JD, so you...
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, my God. I will purposefully, it's like a 4-hour flight in a window seat for me. I will purposefully dehydrate myself, and then I'll have popcorn and I'll get a bottle of water and I'll take little tiny sips of it.
Like a little baby bird.
Yeah. There's no, I'm never ordering a beer at a movie theater, ever.
So he continues, a better idea, according to McBride, would be theaters that offer marijuana and allow patrons to smoke pot. Movies and weed go together fucking perfectly, he said. McBride, David Gordon Green, and their film school buddy Jody Hill had at some point kicked around the idea of opening a theater with a built-in dispensary. Any idea what they were going to call it?
Hmm.
Hmm.
No. I'm trying to green think. I'm going through his catalog right now, trying to think.
Oh, no. Green screen.
It's green screen. Film. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I like that.
If I went to a theater and was like, here's your popcorn and here's fucking weed, I feel like that would be an awesome little combo right there.
This article is these quotes are in his voice. It's great. I know, it's so great.
Because, you know, I was thinking there's Alamo Drafthouse here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's one. I don't think there's one in Atlanta.
No, but they're
the most like stringent, like if you say anything, we will kick you out. Like they do these viral little campaigns where mm-hmm. people call them and complain about getting kicked out of the theater for texting or something like that. And then they proudly put it up on the internet being right. like, see?
Yeah.
We kicked this guy out and we're proud of it. Like they would kick you out of the Alamo Drafthouse for looking at an Indiglo watch.
Right.
Okay, that's how stringent these people are. What's more distracting? Someone looking at a text or someone ordering food and the food being delivered and then someone eating food? Yeah. Right? We know the answer here.
That's okay, yeah.
So it's just, and also, they're giving people booze and encouraging it because obviously that's the highest markup and making the money. Mm-hmm. What causes people to have bad social etiquette and talk through things and talk louder?
You're
booze.
Right. You're right.
So yeah. Just... doesn't make sense. You know, I'd also like to add, when they say silence your phones at the beginning of movies, put them on the lowest brightness too. I'd like that to be as part of the spiel. Because if you have to take your phone at, like, I don't know, you got a babysitter at home, then no one's going to really notice. But if you're on normal brightness, even if it was on silent when it buzzed in your pocket, mm-hmm. it's going to be annoying. So
can't you just tell the babysitter, we will be unreachable for 2 hours and 15 minutes? Well, I'm turning the phone off. Call 911.
Yeah, well, there's an emergency with your child. Call 911.
What am I going to do? I'm in a movie theater.
911 emergency. The child I'm babysitting says he wants snackies?
That's not an emergency. Don't call me for that.
All right.
You call the emergency services and let me know afterwards.
All right. Anyways, down with the movie tavern.
Yeah.
Now that I have Danny McBride on my side, I can really go to war about this.
Great.
I shan't be joining.
It's easier to die on a hill when you have a celebrity that you admire with you.
That's right. Jody Hill, one of the partners in Green Screen.
It's great. Where do I invest? Take my money.
But it's also, do we need the weed? I guess the problem is you're probably not going to be able to smoke weed in the theater.
Well, so just a vape.
Just edibles?
Okay, vapes are fine. Edibles. But edibles is if I'm buying them at the theater, they're kicking in the middle of act two.
Right.
That's not going to do me any good.
Yeah.
So I just think a theater where you encourage people to be high. I don't know.
Well, but your snack profits would probably go up, right? Because people like to snack when they're high.
Yes.
You're selling way more concessions if people are
Yeah,
high.
That's 100%
that's
true.
Yeah.
100% true. Though once you get high and you're in the seat, you're probably like, I don't know if I can get up.
Yeah, but that's where you have people offering. You have people.
And now we're back at square one.
It's still better. Still, at least you're not pissing.
At least you're not pissing. Join us Monday if we have a new show coming out with Avital Ash. She's an actor. She's a stand-up. She's a writer. She's touring a one-person show called Avital Ash Workshops Her Suicide Note.
Oh, geez.
Provocative, huh?
I love it. Can't wait to ask her about it.
I'm going to see it at the end of April.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. And she also happens to be married to Amir Blumenfeld, former guest. This will be the third husband and wife team we've had on the show.
We should have like a newlywed.
Or maybe, no. We've had at least four now that I think about it. We've had Patty and Harry.
Yeah.
We've had CJ and Megan.
Megan, yeah.
We've had Skeets and Nora.
Yep.
We've had JD me Rachel. And Rachel. Does that count?
Sure. We are married.
Matt and Jill.
Matt and Jill.
Oh, shit. On my fingers, I'm counting twice for each person. I'll just divide by two at the end. And then let's say Amir and Avital, not to count our chickens before they hatch. I haven't recorded it yet.
Right.
That's five couples.
We should do a newlywed type game or something. With bring everybody. You know what I mean?
Can we have that many swears?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you're giving yourself the kind of work where then you're going to get angry at yourself for suggesting it. So we're not going to do that, but I'm excited to talk to her later this week. Email us isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Subscribe everywhere. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. This was JD, Matt, and Rachel reaching out from the great beyond. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
My apologies to everyone. I totally forgot to ask Rachel about the three conspiracies that she was going to bring up. I don't know why, in a sense, she didn't just say it at some point. Again, as I've tried to tell you, this isn't a show of just me talking. I'd like you each to be jumping in whenever you feel it. After you talk, sometimes I just jump in if something's related. But I will take the L on this one. As a sort of de facto host, you will want to tune in next week for Rachel's three conspiracy theories. Again, I do apologize.
Now it's really getting built up. God damn it.
Should have jumped in.
That's my punishment. Awesome.
All right. See you next week.